Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is a strategist for small business owners who want to see real results in their business. She's been featured in the New York Times, Black Enterprise, and Inc.com. She won first place in the New York City Small Business Awards to promote women entrepreneurs. If you are truly passionate about your work and want to eliminate the headaches that many startup entrepreneurs have, then this is the interview for you. Let's hack Maya Heredit. Okay, we are back to Hack the Entrepreneur, and we have an amazing guest today again. Maya, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, John, to be here.
So let's just jump right into this, shall we?
Sure.
Maya, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what specifically you do that you think other people maybe don't, but that has been a big contributor to your success so far?
Sure. This was a really interesting question to think about and examine, you know, what's something that I do that others don't. I think there's been one core thing that I've done on a regular basis. And, you know, I contribute a lot of people to my success, my mentors, my entrepreneurial friends. But there's one thing that I know that I've done on a very regular basis, which has been really, really huge for my business. And that's been examining both the business itself and examining my role within the business to be very honest about what is working and what's not working. And I think it's far too easy very often when you become successful or when your business is starting to grow and you're gaining more clients and you're thinking, great, you know, the word is out there. People know what I'm doing. I can get more business, to just keep rolling with the success and not take a step back and be willing to look at what's not working and what are some of the things that I really do need to focus on, because very often down the road that can wreak havoc, to be honest, on your business if you're not willing to take a step back and really look at it and be honest about what is it that I need to shift and change.
That's a great answer. So examining what isn't working and what is working, can you tell me the last thing you examined and realized wasn't working in your business?
Sure. This was a big one. I think a couple of years ago, I stepped back and realized that I was personally operating from a scarcity mindset. And it showed up in my business this way. I had been for a long time working on my business and not able to get past a certain income point. And for me, that big point of like getting over the 100K hurdle was huge. Clients loved my services. You know, I was always able to get, you know, whether it was for coaching or whether I got more youth entrepreneurship programs, I was always able to get people to ask me to come back and to run teams, but couldn't get the business past a certain level. And when I stepped back and listened to what was going on in my own head about the business, I realized that I was operating from a perspective of scarcity, that this was as good as it was going to get, that, you know, I shouldn't ask for more. It's bad to try to get more. So I was, to be frank, self-sabotaging myself by not hiring out people the way that I needed to. So I would get people to come in and help me out with projects here and there, but I didn't get support on the back end of the business to really grow the business and hire employees and hire freelancers on certain projects the way that I needed to. So, you know, it's been an ongoing process. I'll be frank to say I still haven't gotten yet to that place that I want to, and I know that there's still a lot more that this business is going to do. But I think that one has been a really huge one, to be very honest, to see what am I contributing to this business that is both helping it, and then also how am I blocking it? You know, what am I doing to stand in the way? And I'll tell you, a lot of doors have really opened up since I was, you know, able to do that. And I see, you know, 2 or 3 years from now where there'll be a lot more programs and opportunities that I'll be able to take on, because now I've stepped back away from things and let the business kind of and the mission of what I'm doing start to run itself.
I think as entrepreneurs, we're always going to, like, our businesses are always going to be somewhere and we're always going to try and strive for a bit more. I don't think that's what scarcity and abundance is about, that we just want more and more and more and more, right? But yeah, that's interesting. That's very cool. Can you tell me how or when you realized that you were an entrepreneur?
That's a good one. In high school, I always took on, and definitely in college, I always took on a lot of side, as I like to call them, side hustles. And nice. It didn't hit me until after I really got out of school and actually had the privilege of being able to teach a youth entrepreneurship program. I was actually teaching high school students how to start their own business. It didn't hit me until that point in time that that's actually what it was that I was doing all of this time. I just thought it was, well, they told me that if I worked this part-time job, if I worked at work study, I'd only earn, $6-7 an hour. And hey, I actually prefer, doing desktop publishing and going to the summers. A lot of times I would do a lot of trade shows and flea markets and sell different goods and things like that. And I would make a heck of a lot more money and have more fun. So I didn't realize actually that that's what it was that I was doing. And then somebody else gave me the name and then I realized, yeah, that's exactly what it is that I'm doing. This is pretty cool. I like this. And it really opened up a pretty amazing door to then be able to walk into and meet, people that are doing what they love and then being able to, see the positive in their, in their pockets as well.
Yeah. So I find it really interesting when some of us, we don't actually realize that we're entrepreneurs until somebody else puts a name to it. But then you look back and like, oh, wow, I've been doing that for a long time.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's neat. So, okay, we're going to move on to habits if we can.
Sure.
You're a business strategist with small mm-hmm. businesses and you have a thing called Save Your Sanity. So I think this is going to be good.
Sure.
Because hopefully you can save some of our sanity. So for habits, can you walk me through the first 30 minutes of your workday?
Oh, definitely. First 30 minutes of the workday, without hesitation, in order to start the workday, I have to start out by meditating. I don't care what time of the morning it is that I have to get up at for whatever the day I may take on that day. It has to start first with a meditation because just being able to start out grounded and centered and focused, the rest of the day, no matter what happens, I feel like you're just much better prepared to be able to handle it. I then try very, very hard during the first 30 minutes. Doesn't always work, but I try very hard not to look at email. I find that if I start out with whatever the big projects are that are on my plate and start tackling those projects first, sometimes it's brainstorming ideas to help clients out for an upcoming call. I'm actually working right now on putting together my own online coaching program. And so I'm coming up with all the different, themes and the different worksheets and all of the different, things that I'm going to include at that. I find if I start out the first 30 minutes by tackling those big projects rather than the day-to-day operational things that just have to get done, the whole day then shifts for me and you're able to be so much more productive because at the very least, then no matter what happens, the package didn't get delivered, the client, has rescheduled for the fourth time, whatever the mm-hmm. case may be, then at least I've gotten those big things done. And that makes you just go to sleep so much happier in the evening.
Is there a specific way you pick which big things those are that need to get done? I find it hard sometimes. Like we know those big things need to be done, but they're kind of, there's a bunch of them or there's too many of them. Or how do you do that? How do you find that thing that'll help propel you in your business?
I recommend as part of the Save Your Sanity series, I recommend that clients take a step back and look at the big picture and spend every quarter, spend anywhere from a half a day to even if it's just 30 minutes, sit down someplace totally undisturbed, think about what you want to do with the business and set out the goals for what you want to be able to achieve. And then from there, you need to speak to someone who's going to give you a hard way to go with it and kind of get you to refine those goals and get you to take out things that are just, extra fluff or get you to be honest about things you didn't include in that. So I know for a lot of clients, for example, sales and marketing is, one of the areas that they're often uncomfortable in or they don't like. So they'll talk about all these operational things they need to do and all of these things to provide their service or provide their product and totally neglect to put together a marketing plan, which then defeats the effort and the work that you put in. So I recommend, take some time out, plan what the goals are, work with someone directly, whether it's a mentor, whether it's a coach, get feedback on those things, and then break them down into very, very, very small bite-sized pieces. So I keep a notebook with me at all times, and I will continually refine the list until I get it down to probably about 15 or 20 minute chunks, because otherwise if you do something that's too long a period of time, especially if you're crazed with not having a lot of time, I'm both a mother and an entrepreneur and I like to enjoy life and things of that nature. It's too easy to have so many other things going on and just not be able to dedicate hours to focus on your business. So if you work with someone to figure out what is it that I really need to work on, then it's a lot easier, I think, to break those down into very small bite-sized chunks to work on.
Okay. Can you tell me what a habit is right now that you are trying to develop? You sound very habit oriented and that you have an amazing structure to your business. I'm like listening to you. I'm like, wow, I'm nothing like this. I'm just scattered. Right. So, but let's just see if you do have something. Is there a habit that you are trying to develop right now, but you're struggling to adopt it into
most
your life?
Most definitely. Let's be clear. There are certain areas where I feel very focused and very targeted. And then there's quite a few that there's some work to be done. I think one of the big ones for myself right now, it's definitely health. This past year, I was actually unexpectedly in the hospital, and it really, really got me to take a step back and realize that you can continue to keep working on your business and you can continue to keep working and spending all this time and energy on things, or you can take a step back and really, really look at what's important. And things like your health might be part of that category. So, I'll be the first to say I wasn't exercising properly. I definitely wasn't eating properly. For me, the way that I've been doing it now is just changing one thing. So I'll be the first to say I haven't gotten back into an exercise plan yet in a while. But the one thing for me is that every day I need to at least have one thing at each meal that I'm eating that's healthy. So even if it's just something as simple as replacing the high calorie drink that I would prefer to have with some water or some tea that I made. Or this summer, it's been pretty easy to be able to have, a lot of fruits and vegetables and have salads more frequently. But if I try to do too much and try to change the whole diet and the whole health plan at once, it's just never going to happen. So I try to start out with very small steps. And that's actually, that was how a lot of those habits that I have now got started. I spend probably about, if I'm not traveling or if I'm not hosting a workshop for the day, I'll spend on average about 30 minutes to an hour each morning between meditating and prayer. But that literally only happened after doing it consistently and doing maybe 10 minutes here and 10 minutes and 10 minutes and then just building up over time. So I think you can change your habits. You really can really refocus them and you can really take on the habits that you want to take on. But I highly recommend start small. Keep it simple, keep it easy. So then that way when you make your mistakes or you don't do things right, you're not going to just completely give up. It's very easy to get back started again tomorrow with spending 10 minutes, but a lot harder to spend an hour if you haven't done it before.
Yeah, it's interesting how it seems to run through with your business too and stuff you want to do is you big picture and then break it down into small steps. And I think that's absolutely right. Otherwise, things like either health or a new business venture or something, they're just daunting, right? It's like, well, I'm here and I want to be here. And it's like, well, you can't see the steps in between unless you really do take that step back. And then, well, if I break it down into 50 different little steps, then I can complete this. I like that a lot. So let's move on to doubts and fears. I think one of our biggest fears as entrepreneurs and just as human beings is being wrong and not knowing the answer to something. A few minutes ago, you mentioned working with clients and you work with a lot of clients. And you said oftentimes one of their biggest fears is the fear of sales and marketing, which I know a lot of people struggle with. Can you help us take the listener how they can possibly go about overcoming that fear and learning how to sell?
Sure. I think it happens on two levels. I think that there are the actual tactics of how do you sell this product or service. So, what is the service that you're offering? What makes this the greatest thing since sliced bread that you're helping your customer with a need that they have? How can you do it in a way that's authentic to you so that it resonates with the way that your personality is? If you are not someone that's an extrovert, for example, there's plenty of ways that introverts can sell and sell very effectively. And vice versa, people who are extroverts, their product may not work well if they're adjusted to just being able to meet people and just shake hands. They might need to show them something and there's ways of doing that. But I think that the big thing that people often miss is they miss the conversation that's going on in their head. So I can teach you all the tactics in the world, or you could go on to 600 websites, or there's, you know, a ton of books out there. There's a lot of resources to learn how to do things like sales and marketing and entrepreneurship. But the bigger challenge is what's the conversation going on in your head? What's the block that's stopping you from selling? What would be the fear or the doubt? And, you know, thinking about this question, what's the thing that's coming up for you as to why you can't do it?
Wait, let's hear that again.
But the bigger challenge is what's the conversation going on in your head? What's the block that's stopping you from selling? What would be the fear or the doubt? And, you know, thinking about this question, what's the thing that's coming up for you as to why you can't do it?
And that's the hack.
And I find that when entrepreneurs take a step back, or freelancers, or anyone who's getting started in a business, when they can step back and actually examine both sides of that, you know, look at what are the things that I need to learn, what are the tactics and the skills and the, you know, very practical in your face type of things, but also what's the conversation going on in my head, and being honest about that, and, you know, talking with someone that can help you think through it. That's where I think then the big jumps will happen for that person, because there's probably something very simple that they need to do, but they can't see it right now because there's something that they're telling themselves that's preventing them from seeing what the real challenge might be.
Interesting. Would you ever send a client in to say a sales presentation that you've kind of hype them up into, and knowing that they will fail that first time? Because I think that it's essential mm-hmm. for us to fail and to learn from those mistakes. Or do you kind of prepare them and teach them first how to be wrong and how to fail?
I wish it were that easy. Some clients are open to that, and they're open to hearing that, and open to thinking about what some of those mistakes could be. I think there are definitely clients that have gone into sales presentations where they haven't done as well as that I would have hoped, but the client usually knows at the end of that call that, you know, what they can do differently, and it's that they chose to do something else in that particular regard. So I'm the first one to say I definitely don't have all of the answers on all areas. There are industries that they might be getting into that I'm not familiar with, or things of that nature. But they would know. They would have a good sense of knowing from having spoken with me, if, you know, some ideas or advice that I would have about how they can do their best within the call. But I agree. I mean, within the sales call, I think it is helpful to make mistakes. But I think the difference is that you need someone there sometimes that can both hold your hand and kind of hold your feet to the fire a little bit, so that when you make those mistakes, that you don't feel that, you know, this is the end of it. I can't ever do that again. I'll never get as large a prospect again. But there's some steps that you can take to be able to kind of prevent some of those things happening again. So we usually try to talk through them, but sometimes clients like to do things their own way, and I totally support that.
Maybe I shouldn't have phrased it as clients, because I don't want to scare people away from being one of your clients.
No worries.
But I honestly do think that you have to do that. And I guess I should have just made it like, do you ever just walk into situations or do things that you don't even know 50% of how to do it correctly, but you know you will at the end of it. You'll know way more.
Sure. And one of the best examples for that is getting your first 100 sales. I will often try to push the people that I'm working with, especially for those that are starting up their business, to talk to as many people as possible for their first 100 sales. And once you start talking to people, spreading the word, and getting them to make mistakes on every single conversation, and that's okay, because after you've done it the first time, then you have some awareness about it and you can figure out what to do differently for the next time. But it's often very hard to be able to have those initial conversations. And I think people will make up a lot of stories in their head about what people will say and the rejection that they'll feel. But, you know, after you heard your first, I know I heard a speaker once talk about you want to hear your first 100 no's and get that out the way. And then once you've heard your first 100 no's, then it's pretty easy to go from there and hear the yeses. So I definitely agree. I think that you learn a lot more from the mistakes, and you learn a lot more from the things that you don't do so well than you ever do from the areas where you become successful.
Yeah. And I think we don't like to know that, because we don't want to have these failures, but they're amazing and kind of profound things that really do take us to amazing places. So with doubts and fears, you said that you are creating an online coaching program. I'm not sure if you've created one before.
I have not. I have not. And I will be the first to say that my big doubt and fear with this is that my background was teaching business owners in classes and in workshops. So I'm adjusted to working with groups. And one of the big challenges that I have is being able to take a lot of the content and the information and the activities that I have and trying to convert it in a way that will work online. So I'll be the first to say I've like hesitated for too long on this one. Because I don't know how to make it interactive. And I'm very open to saying that a lot of the lessons and the activities that I do, it requires a group of people. So the one example I can give would be, you know, being able to talk to 100 people and practicing your elevator pitch with 100 people. That one can be done. But a lot of the activities, I'm just trying to really go and think about how do I make it so that it's not just this boring, I'm sitting in front of a video, you know, or I'm reading 100 pages in front of me, but it really, each one of the steps that the person's taking is a step that's going to make a difference in their bottom line and also in their happiness with doing this business.
You are worried about making it interactive, worrying about taking it online. You've taught these things offline, but now it's hard. It's a whole different realm, right? So when you are in the process like you are now and a doubt comes up that, Maya, you shouldn't be doing this. You should just keep it offline because you're good at it. What is one thing you tell yourself that allows you to convince yourself that no, you are the right person to do this and this is the right platform for your message?
Same thing I tell my clients, you know, I need to now speak to the 100 people and I need to find 100 people that, you know, that doing it online would be the only way to be able to connect with them as a perfect example. There's so many people out there and I'm only one person. So there's no way that, you know, even if I train people in the techniques and the lessons of what I've taught, there's still no way to get out to everyone. So I tell myself the same thing I tell my clients, you know, make sure that you're stretching yourself and you're being willing to take the risks. Do the very thing that you're afraid of. And this one right now would definitely be the big one of, you know, putting something online and making it interactive. Because I have sat through thousands of courses and workshops online that literally have put me to sleep where you're sitting on, you know, you're watching them online and, or I should say thousands of hours. And it just, there's nothing there to keep you excited and engaged. And then making you feel like you're making a difference with your business. How do I now incorporate a lot of these ideas and make sure that that piece of being interactive and being useful for entrepreneurs is there. So happily, there are a lot of success stories. I mean, there are definitely women entrepreneurs in particular that I've listened to or taken their online courses. And I see that they've had major success for other participants who've been in the workshop. So that's an inspiration for me. And I know that I can do it. And then just being willing to take the risk and just say, you know, if this doesn't work out, then ideally another door is going to open up for something else. And I'll figure out what that particular thing is for my business and we'll go from there.
Maya, can you tell me what the favorite part of this lifestyle you've designed and this business you've designed, what's your favorite part of it now?
I think there's two big favorites I have. The one is definitely the ability to spend my time in a way where I'm able to spend time with my family, meaningful time with my family. You know, in between doing the business, I did go back to work for a period of time, 9 to 5, or I should say 9 to 9. It's all said and done. And you know, at least for me, you lose a lot of creativity. You lose a lot of the innovation and the spark and the excitement and the drive for creating new things. And then also you make a lot of sacrifices for your family. And I don't discount people needing, I mean, we need people to work as employees. Don't get me wrong. I think that that's valuable. And I hope that as time goes on, I can create a company that people would want to work for. But I hope that it's a company where there's work-life balance, where you have the opportunity to both work and work when your rhythms are best, when you're the strongest, and when you're getting the work done the best, but also be able to spend meaningful time with your family. So, you know, spending time with my daughter now, who's pretty young, it's exciting in the middle of the week to be able to take her to, you know, an amusement park or to take her to a park and just hang out and just be there with her for a period of time. But at the same time, I will acknowledge that the work-life balance looks different for everyone. There for me is nothing like getting that 3 a.m. email in the morning. Yes, I will admit that happens. I'm up sometimes at 3 a.m. on the other side of it. And the person that I've been working with that I've been coaching for a while, helping them strategize with their business or even just might have met at one time at an event, they have that aha moment. where all of a sudden it all comes together, you know, what they've been thinking about, what they've been trying to put together, and then getting the opportunity to interact with me and getting some type of advice from me as to how it can impact their business. Those are the moments you live for. And those are the moments that you're like, that's why I do what I do, because it all came together at that
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. I love it. So, okay, Maya, this has been great. I have one final, this is an easier, lighter question for you. It can be business or not at all, but is there a book that continually comes back into your life that you just kind of need sometimes to ground you or to center you again when everything's just kind of not going the way it should?
Is there a book or is there a whole library? very dangerous question to.
Fair enough.
I read a combination of both books about entrepreneurs, and I love reading a lot of the new books that are coming out now from the Generation Y entrepreneurs. And then also I read a lot of things that are helpful in terms of your mindset and your thinking. So books from like Louise Hay or Miguel Ruiz or Florence Scovel Shin with The Game of Life. There's quite a few that I read that I would say that they're pretty dog-eared. Lisa Nichols is another author I'm reading a lot right now. There's a lot that are out there. So I dare not answer that question with just one book because there's a whole library dedicated for that.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, this has been a lot of fun and I've learned a lot from you and I think everyone else will, Maya. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, really, really do appreciate it. Can you just end by just letting everybody know where they can find out more.
Sure.
About
you. For anyone that is interested and has questions about their business or would love to talk with me more about strategizing their business and taking it to the next level, please feel free to reach out to me at www.mallahariddat.com. So it's just my name.com. And I'll be happy to answer questions or speak with you one-on-one, whatever, depending upon what the idea is that comes out.
So once again, Maya, thank you very much for your time. It has been great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, John. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and I wish your audience the absolute best.
Thank you so much for joining us again at Hack the Entrepreneur. This has been a lot of fun. Again, if you haven't been to the website, hacktheentrepreneur.com, I will have links to everything we talked about in the show with Maya today. Plus, you can join my newsletter there. I will be emailing you personally once a week, and the best part is you can hit reply. Ask me any questions. Bounce any ideas off me, anything you want. If you just need someone to talk to about your business and you don't have someone around, I love to talk business. Come straight to my phone, all replies. I'll reply as soon as I can. And yeah, we'll have a conversation, see what you're up to and see what I can help you with, if anything. So hacktheentrepreneur.com when you get a chance. And until then, I'll see you at the next episode.